Turn with me this morning, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 14. And this morning I'm using the Old King James Version for the message. It speaks better to what I want to share with you this morning. John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. I want to talk about the Comforter. Most of your versions in this passage will have the word helper rather than comforter. Comforter is the old word, but really they are virtually interchangeable. As we read through this, the word comforter in the Greek is a Greek word, parakletos, that means para, aside of, someone that comes alongside to help. And so helper is certainly a good translation of the word as well, but I want to talk about this in respect of the comforter. John 14, 15 through 18 this morning. Jesus' words, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." How long?
Forever.
"Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." Notice this. He dwells with you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, dwells with you, and shall be what? In you. Shall be in you. He's with you now. He dwells with you, but soon he will be in you. "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. I will send a comforter so you are not comfortless." This word comforter strikes me, this word helper strikes me as a very important word because it speaks something to the human condition. I think anybody who says, and maybe you've said this, and I mean no disrespect to you, but I think someone who says, "I don't need any help," is fooling yourself. "I don't need a comforter. I don't need that." I think you're fooling yourself. Because I think the very fact that we are human beings speaks to the fact that we do need help from time to time. Amen? We need help from time to time. And if not now, someday will. And in the sense of comforter, I think we all need some comfort as well. And we know from the Old Testament, the poetry books, I'm just going to go through these real quickly. In Job chapter 16, verse 2, speaking of those who had come to try to comfort Job, he says of those men, "You are miserable comforters. You came to comfort me, but you did anything but." Those three men pretty well pointed their fingers at Job and said, "You're the blame. You're the fault." How many know that's not the kind of comfort we need? All right. Now, if we are at fault, the Lord will show us that. In Ecclesiastes 4:1, Solomon looked out and said, "I looked over all of the injustices in the world." And he said, "What struck me most was there was no comforter." There was no one to comfort the poor and the hurting and those who were needy. There was no comforter. And in Psalm 69:20, which has relevance probably to the cross and in the words of Jesus, it says that I sought for comfort and I found none. There was no comforter to be found. And so the absence of a comforter is a discouraging thing. But the word comfort in our vocabulary has probably taken on a different meaning. I mean, I thought of a few things here. It's not exhaustive, but we speak today of comfort foods. Comfort foods. As I was traveling back from Roseburg, Cheryl and I went to a memorial service for a dear friend. I was thinking of the message, and I was thinking comfort foods. And I'm just going to tell you immediately where my brain went. My brain went to fried potatoes and gravy over biscuits and hamburger patties, and I'm thinking, just put it on me. That is comfort food for me. Now, for you, that may not be comforting, but, and then I thought of chocolate, and that should comfort everybody. Comfort foods. What is a comfort food? It's a food that just helps. It may not be healthy, but it just helps. And then I thought of the term, the comfortable chair. How many have a comfortable chair in your house? Four of you? Where do the rest of you live? Come on, how many have a comfortable chair in your house? All right, more of you, all right? And maybe it's a favorite chair. Matter of fact, I was talking to some folks today, and they suggested that we have a row of recliners somewhere in the church. And I think that'd be a great idea. Yeah. And then I said, but then you'd want a remote that would turn pastor off. So a comfortable chair. There's something about getting home from a hard day's work and just sitting down in your comfortable chair. And then the phrase comforting thoughts. That's a comforting thought. We think of something and go, well, that's comforting. Comfort could mean a lot of things. But to these disciples who are soon going to lose the Savior in their mind, he's going to die on the cross, and then he will be taken up into heaven to sit on the right hand of God the Father. Jesus knows their need of a comforter, or a helper, if you will. He has been that to them for 3.5 years. They have journeyed with him, and he has comforted them, and he has helped them. But now he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. In verse 26 of chapter 14, look what it says. It says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So Jesus identifies who the comforter or the helper is. He said, it is the Holy Ghost. So there's no question as to who the comforter is. It is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And you don't know how many times I have said, Holy Spirit, bring that back to my mind. Bring that back to my mind. I saw someone in the store the other day. They didn't see me. And I was trying to think, who is it? Who is it? I know who it is. And I was trying to think and put their name with something. And I got my phone out and went to my call list. Because sometimes if I meet someone, I'll put their name in there and associate with something. You know, like, you know, this person goes to maybe this church or this is that pastor or whatever. But I could not draw it up. I could not draw it up. And so I purposely am avoiding that person until I can think, because I want to remember their name. And I prayed, Holy Spirit, please bring that to my mind. Not 2 hours from now when I sit in my comfortable chair, but right now. And all of a sudden, how many know what I'm talking about? It just pops in there. And you go, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then I tracked the person down and said, how are you doing, Bob? That wasn't their name. But how you doing? And anyway, fine. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Jesus identifies the comforters of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. Jesus says, when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is going to come from the Heavenly Father. God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, if you will, to you. And then look at chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Speaking of when he will be taken up into heaven, he says, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him on unto you. Now, I don't want to take time to explain that verse except to say this, that the plan that the Father had was that when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit would come. And when the Holy Spirit would come, he would come not beside them, but he would reside within them. And that is where the Holy Spirit resides today, inside the believer. Amen. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's what Jesus had said in chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. The Holy Spirit will come and reside within you. Now, the comforter. And again, that word just rings true with me this morning, thinking of maybe someone here today that needs comfort. Now, there's other contexts of that word comfort that really aren't appropriate, really, to speak, I think, because the world has really taken the word and used it in ways that they certainly should not use it. But to the believers, to those who walk with the Lord Jesus, we understand the importance of having the Comforter bring us comfort in our lives. And He is a helper, to refer to the versions you have. Jesus said, "I will send you another helper." The Comforter is a helper. And what is that? This Greek word, parakletos, it's a word that literally means someone that comes alongside. Thus, the prefix para, come alongside to help. That's what it literally means. That's what Comforter is, one that comes alongside to help. A friend, if you will, can be a comforter if they come alongside to help you. They may not have all the answers, but they're coming alongside. They're going to walk with you through something, and they're going to help you. And many of you have experienced that. Someone, a friend, a family member, or a person in the church has come alongside you and helped you walk through something. Maybe you've done that with someone else. And in that respect, you become a helper. It's interesting that this word, comforter, has a direct correlation to another word in the Old Bible, the Old Testament, book of Genesis. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, it's the record, if you will, of God creating man and woman. And there's an interesting word, or two words actually, in the Old Bible, in the Old King James. And you'll notice it right away as I read. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone.'" So at this point, we have the man has been created. God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He has a body, he has a soul, he has a spirit, but he's alone. And God says in verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him," and in the Old Bible, it says, "a helpmeet for him." In the New Versions, it says, "a helper for him." But the Hebrew word for the phrase helpmeet or helper is virtually the same definition as the word comforter in the New Testament. One that is called alongside to help. Now we know this is going to be the woman. Look at verse 20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam there was not found out a helpmeet for him." The animals had their helpmeet, if you will, but Adam didn't have one. He didn't have someone that was like him, that would walk along with him by his side to help him. And so God, verse 21, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof." This is the first surgery, it looks like. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman." And that word "made" literally means he built. He built a woman. He built a woman the way that she should have been built. And women looked the same as God built her back then, as do men. "And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said," when he saw woman that God had made, a helpmeet, he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Adam understood where she came from. Adam didn't say, "Oh my goodness, you're an animal. And I forgot to name you." No, no, no. He understood she was from him. And it's because she, and he says, "She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The word "woman" in the Hebrew means man with a womb. She is capable of bearing children. Actually, the Hebrew word for woman is ishsha. Ishsha. The word for man is ish. And I like to say, men, we're just an ish, but the women are isha. That sounds much, much better. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. They're still two individuals, but they are now called alongside to help one another. And the old saying goes, God didn't take didn't make woman out of something out of Adam's head to be over him. And God did not make woman out of his feet to be trampled over him, by him, but he took her out of his side so they could walk together. Amen. That's the plan. That's the plan. And that's where, in my opinion, Christianity has it right, and other religions certainly, I think, have it wrong, because the woman has such a demeaned position in many religions of the world, but not in Christianity. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And so here we have a helpmeet then for Adam. And what was a helpmeet? Literally, one called alongside to help him in what he was commissioned to do in the Old Testament. So, if you will, you go back to John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit then is sent to us as a helper or a comforter to help us do what God has called us to do. We see that the comforter has been sent to be a forever abider. Verses 16 and 17. He will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and then leave when he's upset with you. How many know that? The Holy Spirit doesn't come and say, you're not doing good today. I'm going to leave till you shape up your attitude. How many know your wife may do that or your husband may do that, but not the Holy Spirit? Amen? The Holy Spirit comes and is a forever abider. It says in verse 26 that the Comforter has come as a teacher and as a reminder, one that will teach us all things. How do we learn from this Bible? We read a passage and the light comes on. Who turns that light on? It is the Comforter, right? It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us. In chapter 15, verse 26, we learn the Comforter has come as a testifier. Jesus said he will testify of me, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He lifts up Jesus. He testifies of Jesus, and he reminds us of what Jesus did and what he will do for us. And finally, the Comforter has come, in verse 7 from chapter 16, verse 7, he has just come, he's here. The Comforter is here. And when you look further at the work of the Holy Spirit as Comforter, we know that he has come to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to convict us, to reprove us, to live in us, to work through us. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come. Praise God. So if the Holy Spirit has the work of all these things to do as a Comforter, don't you think that we as believers ought to know as much about the Holy Spirit as we can? Amen. How many would agree that would be important? And our source of information on the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. That's where our source of information is. And so, you know, don't look on the internet in some, conspiracy theory website and punch in, what is the Holy Spirit? You're going to get some weird stuff, I'll tell you. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy, who the Holy Spirit is and what his job is and what his assignments are, we go to the Bible. Amen. We go to the Bible and the teachings that Jesus has. And one thing that will be overriding, especially through the book of Acts, will be that the Holy Spirit has been sent to be our comforter, one called alongside to help. Chapter 10 of Luke, please, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Our time has slipped away quickly. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And to the sound booth folks, this is not on your sheet. I added this after you got that sheet. I apologize. Luke chapter 10. To me, this story is a wonderful illustration of what the Holy Spirit does as a comforter. Hopefully, if you have your Bibles, you'll look this up. It's very important. You'll recognize the story right away. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus answering this question, who is my neighbor? He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. That Samaritan could be representative of any of us at any given time. We are hurting. We've been wounded. As Cheryl said, we've been walking in the fog and we're not sure where we're going, etc. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. So the priest and the Levite saw the poor man wounded and injured, and they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get involved. They just wanted to get around as quickly as they could. I came on an accident the other day, and it looked pretty serious. And my immediate thought is, am I needed here? Is there something that I could do? But I saw that, you know, the paramedics, everybody was there. Looked like the chaplain was already there. So I saw that I wasn't necessarily needed for anything. But someone behind me was so in a hurry to get around. They didn't care that anybody, and they were pulling people out of the cars. And my heart went out to these folks, but the person behind me was so in a hurry to get where they were going, they literally ran around me on the wrong side of the road just to get by that thing, because they just didn't care. You say, how do you know that? You're judging them. You bet I am. They didn't care. And that's the problem today. So many people just don't care about their fellow man. We need to change that. Amen? We need to care about that fellow man. We need to care about that person. But the priest and the Levite went around this poor guy. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't want to be bothered. And that seems to me one of the plagues of our society is we don't want to be bothered by somebody else's need. But I want to tell you folks, as Christians, if we carry the comforter inside of us, if we see someone that needs to be comforted and we can do it, we need to share with them the comforter. Amen? We need to get involved. But then a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, notice the progression. See if this doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit to you, the comforter. He saw him. He came where he was. The Holy Spirit comes where we are. As wrong, as dirty, as sinful as we are, when we invite the Lord to come into our life, the Holy Spirit comes where we are. Amen? Come on. Amen? He doesn't say, clean up your act and then I'll come. No. He says, I'll come where you are. He saw, he come where he was, and then he saw him. He looked, he saw him, and so the Holy Spirit sees us. He sees what you're going through today. He sees your need of comfort. He sees your need of strength. He sees your need of healing. And then he had compassion on him. He not only saw, but he had compassion. He felt for this man. And I think that's part of the problem in our society is we've lost compassion for folks. We've lost compassion. And we need to have that back. But the Holy Spirit has compassion on us. And then, verse 34, he went to him. And so the Holy Spirit comes to us. And he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. But not only that, on the morrow he said to the innkeeper, you take care of him, and whatever you spend more when I come back, I will repay you. The Good Samaritan, in my opinion, is a great picture of a comforter. Someone that comes alongside to help and will see it through till that person is better. How many know that's what our comforter does for us? Amen? The only difference in it phrased from the story is the Holy Spirit doesn't ever go away, but he's there. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He comforts us. He is the helper. He's the comforter. And so, if you're hurting today, the comforter is here. We used to sing an old song back in the old days. The comforter has come. The comforter has come. And the comforter is here. And if you're hurting, he's come with comfort. He's come with strength. He's come to be in you and to help you. And you can talk to the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me one time, am I allowed to pray to the Holy Spirit? They were serious. Am I allowed to pray to the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, the last time I checked, he was God, and we're supposed to pray to God. Amen? It's okay. We can talk to the Holy Spirit. We can pray to the Holy Spirit because he is a comforter. And if we see that work and what he does in us, then I believe we can say, Holy Spirit, come and heal the hurt of my heart. Holy Spirit, come and show me what Jesus would do in this situation. Holy Spirit, come and convince me of your presence. And I want to tell you, when you begin to feel something, when you begin to feel something and it's different in a situation, there's a good chance it's the Holy Spirit comforting and helping to lead you and guide you. Amen? The Comforter has come. All right, I've taken you a long time and we've got to dismiss. Others are coming in. But let's stand together. And let me encourage you again, get to know the Comforter. Reread the scriptures in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, read John chapter 14, 15, and 16, because intermingled through all of that is so much the work of the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. And then read Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was sent down and came and was inside of them. Amen? And then the rest of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit directed and guided and comforted and strengthened and on and on and on and on. And then, if you have a mind to, read some of a book. The author Fox. Fox was his last name. Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read of those who have given their lives for the Lord and see if you can't find the comfort of the Holy Spirit in that book, of those that have laid down their life for the Lord. How many know the Comforter has come? Amen? The Comforter has come. And so, Comforter, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our helpful, our helper, and our comfort, and our guide, and our teacher, and our strength. And for whoever might need the comfort of the Holy Spirit today, let that comfort come to them. Let the Holy Spirit that resides within them just rise up and be the strength that they need. Whatever they're walking through, I don't know what anyone might be walking through today, but Lord, maybe they're walking through the fog that Cheryl shared about. Help them to know the Holy Spirit is there to lead them and to guide them and to strengthen them. Thank you for coming, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being our comforter. We look forward to learning more about you as we open the pages of the Bible and see the great work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming to service today. You're dismissed, and have a great week. And if not before, have a great Thanksgiving as well. God